To Ephesians 6:10 through 19, and we will read this together, and that is Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 19. And you can just holler at me, well, don't literally holler, maybe say amen when you're ready. And we'll be focusing on this this morning, so if you just want to keep your hand here to reference. Let's read it together. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Let's pray. Jesus, we just thank you so much for your word. We thank you that, God, you've given us your word as a guide on how we're to live our lives every day. We don't have to question because you're there to help us, Father. So, Lord, I know that you have a word for us this morning. Open our hearts and our ears to hear what it is that you want to say to us this morning. Holy Spirit, I invite you here, and I just ask that you just come and be in the midst of us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may have your seats. Well, in this passage, we have Apostle Paul who's talking to the church in Ephesus and sharing how they need to equip themselves for battle. Well, this is also an analogy for us on how we are to fight in spiritual warfare. Now, for me, many of you may and may not know that I am a PK. That means I'm a pastor's kid. And I know firsthand that spiritual warfare is real. I remember there would be times when my parents would invite people into our homes, and I would see the devil at work. And there were moments where it was really scary for me. But of course, my dad would always encourage us and let us know whose army we're and whose side we're on. But I remember, as a result of that, I also remember seeing how the attacks on me and my family began to get greater and greater. And I remember being amazed or shocked at the lengths that the enemy would go to try to destroy my family. So I want you to know that spiritual warfare is real. And although maybe you haven't experienced it firsthand, I just don't want you to believe that because you haven't, that it's not real. Because if you haven't experienced it, you probably most likely will. So I want you to, you know, tune your ears to hear this morning because, you know, spiritual warfare is such a big topic. And I only have a few minutes to share it with you this morning. So I encourage you to read on it and study on it because it's important and you need to know about it. But I believe that there are four things that the Lord wants me to focus on this morning, so I will do my best to try to do that this morning. The first thing that we must realize when we are in spiritual warfare is that we must acknowledge the battle. There are times we are, as a people, we are being attacked on a daily basis, and there will be seasons. Everything has its seasons. There will be moments when we feel like, ooh, there's a bump in the road. That wasn't too bad. Life is still good. I can make it. I can make it through. But then there'll be other seasons where you feel like everywhere you turn, you just cannot catch a break. Financial hardship, car broke down, somebody's sick, somebody lost a job, people are acting crazy on the job, your kids are acting crazy. Your spouse, everything. You just feel like everything is just going crazy. You are in war. Or if we look around, if we turn on the TV and we look on Facebook, we can see what our nation is going through. And we can see that as a nation, we are in war. In war, there will be moments when you feel as if you cannot do it anymore and you want to quit because it is hard. I'm not going to lie and say that spiritual warfare is easy, because it is not. There'll be times when you just feel it's uncomfortable. I remember telling somebody, I wish I could be a toddler and I can get on the floor and just throw a temper tantrum, because it just feels so uncomfortable. And then you'll have moments when you feel as if God has left you and you are all in this battle all by yourself. Regardless of the season that you are in, to truly understand the battle, you must acknowledge the moment and that you're in war. You must recognize it for what it is, tackle it head on. Don't ignore it, because it's not going anywhere. You have to fight. Now, discernment is crucial in spiritual warfare, because we have a tendency sometimes to either believe that we never go through spiritual warfare or everything is spiritual warfare. So we got to have discernment there. I remember a time my dad, as I said, he was a pastor and he grew up in this church. And they wanted to honor him on this day. And so we were sitting there, and this older lady wanted to get up, and she wanted to sing him a special selection. So she gets up, and she sounded horrible. Okay, now I don't know if she saw my face or if the Lord just opened her ears to hear that she couldn't sing. And so in the middle of the song, she said, "Ooh, the devil is trying to steal my voice." I'm like, "No, ma'am, no, ma'am. He cannot take something that God didn't give you. That can't happen. We cannot do that. He is not that good, okay?" So we have to be careful. We cannot give the devil more credit than he deserves. We can't blame everything on him. Sometimes we have to realize that the things that we are walking through, the things that are happening, the things that we are facing are because of choices that we made. Or maybe God is trying to teach you something, but everything is not the devil. Point two, don't waste your time fighting the wrong battle. Don't waste your time fighting the wrong battle. In spiritual warfare, we have to know what is the enemy and what's not. Some may believe, okay, well, I don't do the whole God thing. You know, I haven't completely surrendered my life to Christ. I used to think that. PK, I know, silly. And I'm like, well, I'm not doing everything I know to do, so I'm not really a threat. Oop, nope, wrong. Don't think that you are hashtag team enemy and that he's going to have mercy on you because you feel like you haven't completely surrendered your life. No, that's not the case. He's already got you, because he didn't want me to experience the goodness of God, because he knew that God was the key for my life. He is the key for your life. We all are created with a purpose and for a purpose. And just like God knows that he has a purpose and a plan for your life and my life, the enemy knows that as well. And he will use any trick and every scheme possible to deter you from that purpose. If we look at verse 11 and verse 12, it tells us, put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So our enemy is the devil. A devil who has powers, he just doesn't have power over Jesus Christ. Your enemy is a devil who organizes and strategizes how he can defeat you and how he can defeat me. Your enemy are beings of the highest rank and order in Satan's kingdom. I remember a pastor saying that we got to stop worrying about these little ones and learn how to fight the big ones. We got to fight the big guys. So they're ranked and order in Satan's kingdom. Before I was born, my dad spent some time in the Air Force, and he went to Vietnam twice. And I began to sit down with him, and I asked him, okay, so Dad, how were you prepared for war? How did they prepare you guys? And one of the things that he told me is that they had to define for him who the enemy was, because in North and South Vietnam, they looked alike. So he couldn't go off appearance. He had to go off what the enemy did, the actions. That goes for us as well. We can't be foolish enough to think that the devil's going to sit up in here, he's going to come in red and have horns on and a pitchfork, and he's going to whisper in your ear, "I'm here." That's not going to happen. What we are fighting in the spiritual realm, and although we cannot see him or see them, they are here. They are here. So let's define our enemy. The word of God is the best place to go when defining our enemy. The first thing when defining our enemy is we must know that he is not stupid. He's been doing this for a long time, and he's educated. He's so educated. If you look at Samson, a man that was intended for God's use and the enemy chose at the beginning that wasn't going to happen. And he used Samson's weaknesses to try and destroy him. He's so educated that he doesn't waste his time tempting us on the things that we don't struggle with. He knows your weaknesses, and he will use them to destroy you. He's a trickster. If we look at Eve in the Garden of Eden, and the Bible in Genesis 3 describes him as being crafty, twisting the word of God. He's a trickster. He entices. If we look at David and Bathsheba, he makes you think that something is real good and that it's good for you. But in actuality, it leads you into Satan's trap. All of these examples are examples of when the enemy has strategized, he has studied, and he's taken time to figure out how he's going to take you out and how he's going to take me out. We know who our enemy is. We've defined him, that he's a trickster, that he is, he entices, he strategizes. But it's also important for you to know who your enemy is not. Your enemy is not your spouse. Your enemy is not your kids. Your enemy is not your friend. That is not your enemy. We are not up against human components. Our battle is in the spiritual realm. And although the devil uses us, we've all been guilty of letting the devil kind of have his way, and he uses us to do his dirty work. But we're not enemies. The Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So your enemy is in the spiritual realm. So don't waste your time fighting your spouse when your enemy is in the spiritual realm. So what this boils down to is that you are up against evil, malicious spirits, and rank demons who make war on the people of God. They are rank demons who make war on you and on me. The third thing is, the way to experience rest is to fight God's way, not our way. God doesn't leave us defenseless. He gives us the tools that we need. And matter of fact, if we look at verse 10, it says, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Meaning he doesn't expect you to fight it in your own strength. He doesn't expect you to do that. The battle is the Lord's. You are just a soldier in his army that he chooses to use. However, only in the authority of Jesus Christ can we stand against the evil one, against the devil. I remember growing up in school, and I mean, seeing the girls fight was hilarious. But they would put on the Vaseline, take off the little hoop earrings, take off the shoes, and throw anything that they can get their hands on. I mean, just crazy. Well, that's not going to help you in this battle. Or you guys, you feel like, oh, your shirt is probably about to, muscle is about to bulge out of your shirt, and you feel like, oh, I'm strong, or I got my piece, or I got my brass knuckles, whatever you have to win the fight. Well, that's not going to help you in this fight. Or maybe you've watched Medea, like me, and she uses her piece, or she gets a pot of hot grits, and she wants to throw it at any and everybody. Well, sorry, that is not going to help you in this fight. None of that will work. We can't fight spiritual forces with human resources. We have nothing to even put a dent in it with what's in our hands, our natural physical hands. You can't fight spiritual forces with human resources. He gives us what we need, and that is the armor of God. It's a choice. You have a choice every day if you're going to get up out of your bed and you're going to put that armor on. You have a choice to do it. It's not going to be slapped on you, prayed on you, spit on you, nothing. You have to get up every morning and put on the armor of God. However, if you choose to get up and not have it on, you know that you are at it's free reign for the enemy to do whatever he wants to do. We must put on our armor. So what does it look like? How do we dress with the armor on? Verse 13 says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God. It didn't say a piece. It didn't say three pieces. It says take up the whole armor of God. We must put on the entire thing. They all work together. One does not work without the other. They work together. Okay? So much so that for the Roman soldiers, the belt was the first thing that they put on because that's what connected the other weapons. That's where their sword and everything would go. So if they didn't have on their belt, they couldn't carry any weapons. So you must have on your belt. It says, fasten the belt of truth. Truth is saying that you will no longer be deceived. It is saying what is real and not hidden. We know that Jesus Christ is the truth. He is the spirit of truth. He brings light into dark situations. So when we fasten our belt of truth, we're saying, Satan, we're not falling for your lies. We are not falling for your tricks. We are carrying with us the light of Christ who exposes every trick and every scheme of the devil. So go away. When we fasten our belt of truth, we can see what is real. The next thing is the breastplate of righteousness. It is the most crucial piece because it protects our most vital organs. It covers our heart. Righteousness means to be in right standing with God. We must guard our hearts and protect our relationship with Jesus Christ. We know that the enemy will try anything. He will plant things into our heart, and we have to guard our heart against that. Anything that separates us from God, we need to make sure that we're in right standing with him. So we must get up every morning and choose, God, anything that's in my heart that is not of you, I want my heart to be pure. I want to be in right relationship with you. And if there's anything there that is not, remove it. We need to put on the breastplate of righteousness. And then he says, as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. The shoes that were worn by the soldiers, they were to protect their feet, but they also were for mobility. They were made out of three layers of leather. They weren't some flimsy sandals. They were made out of three layers of leather because they wanted to make sure that they could move about and they didn't have to worry about where their feet were standing. Readiness means to be prepared. The gospel we know is what? It's the good news. It is our firm foundation. When our feet are planted on the word of God, that is how we get our internal peace. Our feet must be planted on the word of God. So if our feet are being fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, we are preparing, we are equipping ourselves with the gospel. We're saying we're not just talking the talk, but we can walk the walk. When someone comes and asks, okay, how do you smile every day? I know you got to go through something bad. Oh, it's the gospel. It's the word of God. I can smile at all times because I know whose team I'm on. I have the gospel. As a believer, we must always be ready to proclaim the gospel. Then he says, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Now, this isn't the actual shield. Their shield was body length. It was a blanket of protection. It was designed to protect the entire body. Faith is to trust, is to believe God no matter the circumstances. So when you're up against a battle, it is because of faith that you can say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. It is because of faith when he plants that thing in your mind and makes you question, where is God? Why am I in this all by myself? We can say, God said he would never leave me or nor forsake me. Get thee behind me, Satan. We can say that because we have faith. We know what the word of God says. We know what we believe in. And we are applying that faith to every aspect of our lives. We must exercise that faith so that it can extinguish the darts of the enemy. Then it says, take up the helmet of salvation. Now, we know the helmet, it had cheek guards and a guard for the back of the head, and it was to protect their head. Salvation means being saved, receiving deliverance. When we take the helmet of salvation, we are choosing to protect our mind and our thought process. Any ideas, anything that comes in there, any lie that the devil tries to plant there, we can remove it. We can compare it against the word of God, and if it doesn't match, it's out. We cast it down because those thoughts, those ideas, they affect the way that we think, our choices, and our decisions that we make on a daily basis. And I felt this morning, even in first service, that God was saying there's some people that the enemy has planted lies in there and tried to tell you who you are. But I want to let you know that you are a child of the Most High God. Amen. And you don't believe the lie of the enemy because you are his child. You are special. You are beautiful. You are fearfully made. We are blessed to be a child of God. We are blessed. So I just want to tell you that this morning. Next, it says the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword was the only offensive weapon. The other five were defensive. The sword is a powerful weapon, just like the word of God. It is very powerful. The sword is used to attack the enemy. If we look at Jesus when he was tempted by Satan, he was a perfect example of how to use scripture to defeat the enemy. But if you also know, you know that the enemy knows scripture as well. He knows it as well. So the sword of the Spirit is more than just reading God's word, but it's meditating on it. It's memorizing the scripture because we need it to fight the enemy. If we know our scripture, we know, okay, Satan, that's not what the Bible says. But we have to meditate and we have to know that scripture so that we can fight the enemy. Last, it says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Prayer is a powerful resource. Praying in the Spirit is to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I know for some, they're like, okay, it brings a little, you know, it's a little uncomfortable, but it's nothing to be feared. It is a weapon, a powerful weapon that God has given you and me. I like to think of it as a secret language between me and God. And when you don't know anything else to pray, you can always pray in the Spirit because it is enabled by the Spirit of God who intercedes on your behalf and on my behalf. I remember being in Florida and the Lord told us to move there 14 hours away from our family, and we thought we were going for one thing, and it was horrible. And I was out here with no family, and I remember just everything was just going wrong. And I remember questioning God, you brought me here. You brought me here. And I remember, if I can be honest, I remember feeling like I just could not do it anymore because Satan had beat me up to the point where I just did not want to live. I was so depressed and I was so much in war with the enemy. And I remember one day I got in my den and I began to pray in the Spirit. I began to pray in the Spirit, and I had my worship music on. I was in the presence of God. And I was, as I began to just speak my prayer language, as I began to worship God, that problem, that situation, it just began to get smaller and smaller and smaller. And God is saying this morning that I am with you even in the midst of the storm. In the middle of the battle, he is there. He was with me. Right there. He never left. But I waited to the last minute till he beat me up to the point where I couldn't even take it anymore, that I wanted to die, that I decided I need to put on my armor. I got to get myself together. And as I began to put on my armor, as I began to pray in the Spirit, as I began to worship, I can't tell you, just the peace of God began to overtake me. We need to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, don't think, oh, I just take off my armor and I got to pray in the Spirit. No, you pray in the Spirit with your armor on. You pray in the Spirit with your armor on. How are you dressed this morning? How are you dressed? Some of you have been attacked so many times and you haven't even put on the armor yet. And he's just attacking and attacking and attacking. And God says, put on your armor. Or maybe you realize that you only have on some of the armor. You haven't been studying your word. You haven't been filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need your armor. Or maybe the enemy has beat you up and you've come in here and you are tired. You barely made it through the door. But God is saying, I've given you everything you need. I've given you the tools, not only to experience rest, but to get victory. I've given you what you need, but you got to trust me enough to fight my way and not your way. You've been focusing on the wrong thing. You've been fighting your husband when it's the spirit behind him. It has nothing to do with him. It's the spirit behind him that's influencing his behavior. And so the enemy has you thinking that is your battle when the battle is in the spiritual realm. I encourage you this morning that God is here and he's given us the tools that we need. Will you take them? Will you choose to fight God's way and not your way? What we see in our nation, the end times is coming, and it's only going to get worse. It's only going to get worse, and you need to be equipped with your armor. If you're going to make it, if you're going to fight, if we're going to make a difference, if we're going to change the atmosphere, we have to have on our armor. We can't fight with what's in our hands. So I want to invite Pastor Shaq to come up this morning. Thank you, Kai. And I want to pray this morning, and I want to also invite our elders and our deacons to come forward, and our pastors and their spouses as well. I believe we need to spend some time in worship and praying, because I believe that you've been beat up, you're tired, and you need your armor. Or maybe you are the person like me, and you thought, well, I'm not a threat to the enemy. I haven't surrendered my life to Christ, and you want to accept Jesus into your heart this morning. You want to be dressed for the first time. We're here to say that, to receive salvation. Or maybe you want to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The enemy has had you thinking that it was scary. God doesn't give us anything that's going to harm us. So if that's you, when I'm going to lead us in prayer, I want you to come forward. And don't allow the enemy to keep you in that chair, because he will. Jesus, can we stand? Let's pray together. Oh God, you are so faithful. You know exactly what we needed this morning. Father, you see your people, you see the battles that they're facing, whether it's a battle of their finances and their marriage, sickness in their bodies. Lord, you know the battle that they're up against. You know the battle that they're in. And God, I thank you for the armor. I thank you that you don't leave us defenseless. You give us the tools that we need. And so this morning, God, we're not going to choose to walk out of these doors into our situations without our armor. We're going to use the tools that you've given us because we want to experience peace and victory. So Father, we thank you this morning. I pray that you would give them the boldness to come. Give them the boldness to come this morning. We thank you, Lord. And we just want to worship you, and we want to give it to you. And we're saying today we're going to fight your way. So if that's you, we want you to come. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. You have won the victory. Hallelujah. You have won it all for me. And death could not hold. Yeah. death could not hold you down. You are the risen King, yeah. Seated in majesty. You
given us. You want us to walk out of this room with our armor on. You've given us the power to defeat the enemy. And I just pray that God today, that each and every person in this room would walk out with boldness, with their head held high, knowing that they're equipped for battle. So we thank you this morning. And we just want to end with the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.